Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you one more time with me read the title of our sermon today? It's on the screen. Why Worship? Our text is Exodus 20, verse 8, which simply says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Today we'll answer the question, what does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? We'll answer the question, why worship? I invite you to turn to your sermon outline as we consider this very important theme, why worship? Permit me to describe to you a very precious scene. We'll come back to this scene at the end of our sermon. An old man walks down a beach in Florida. The sun is setting, the waves are splashing. The beach is empty except for this old man. He carries a bucket in his hand. It's a bucket filled with shrimp. It's not for him, it's for the seagulls. He walks to a pier that goes out into the water. It's time for his weekly ritual, so he stands and he waits. Soon the sky becomes a mass of seagulls. The evening silence gives way to the unmistakable screech of seagulls. They cover the pier. They come as they do each week to greet this old man. And for 30 years or so, this elderly gentleman will feed the birds until his bucket of shrimp is empty. But after his bucket is empty, the birds still stay. They remain as if they're attracted to something more than just the free food. They perch on his hat. They walk with him down the pier. They share a moment together. Now, do you have that scene in your mind? Hang on to it. We'll come back at the end of the sermon as it helps us to answer the question, why worship? From Exodus 20, verse 8, we read these words, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." God had just freed the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. He had brought them through a difficult wilderness journey, and now to take care of them in a gift of love, he invites his people to rest on a special day, the Sabbath day. They were to keep it holy. That means they were to keep it separate and distinct from every other day of the week. On this day, they were to rest from the work they did on the other 6 days of the week. They were to set time aside to worship God on this day and thank him for his boundless love and care. On this special day, they were to rest, and giving them rest, God would strengthen them. In fact, the Hebrew word for Sabbath means rest. Now, in the New Testament passage from Matthew chapter 15, without using the word worship, we are given a definition of what worship is. Listen to Matthew 15. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. He went up a mountain and sat down, and great crowds came to him, bringing him the lame, the blind, the crippled, and many others, and they laid him at his feet. And he healed them. And the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. Jesus healed. And he healed, and he fed. Now imagine the scene. A blind man for the first time seeing his wife of 30 years. A man who had never walked in his life, now walking and jumping and playing ring around the rosy with the children. A mute woman who could never speak, now telling her children the things she always wanted to tell them. A deaf woman, with tears of joy for the first time, hearing her little children say, "Mama." And the people responded to the love of Christ in the only way they could. Verse 31 says, the people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, crippled made well, lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they praised the God of Israel. I wonder how they did that. I'm sure they did not form a worship committee. They did not call a congregational meeting to discuss worship times or worship formats. They didn't debate music styles or how long the service should go. In all probability, they only praised and thanked our Lord Jesus. Imagine the healed leper falling at Jesus' feet and saying, what were those two words? Thank you. Imagine that young mother and father standing speechless before Jesus with tears of joy, holding their healed little girl. And they said to Jesus those two words. Imagine a healed mute singing praises to God like me, a little off key but very loud, and nobody cared. That was his way of saying, thank you. Each one in their own way, saying, thank you, my dear Lord Jesus. You see, without using the word worship, this Bible passage defines it. Worship is a thank you that refuses to be silenced. Would you say that with me? Worship is a thank you that refuses to be silenced. Worship is a voluntary act of gratitude in response to God's goodness. Worship is that voice of thanks, those tears of joy offered by the saved to the Savior, from the healed to the healer, from the delivered to the deliverer. Worship, remembering the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And today, that means you and I today, every chance we get, at a minimum, one day a week on Sunday, coming to God's house to receive from Him the riches He has to give us in the name of Jesus. The riches that include these gifts, the forgiveness of sins, the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, the promises of God's Word in the sermon, the reminder that heaven awaits all who are faithful to Him, the gift of Christian fellowship and support. And so today, for ourselves and for our families, we are to make this Sabbath a priority for our every week. Keeping it holy, setting it aside for the worship of God, not giving in to the temptation of the unbelievers in this world who treat Sunday like any other day of the week, but teaching our children by example, but being in God's house for worship is what we're all about. Keeping the Sabbath day holy also means, look at your sermon outline, making every effort to invite others to God's house for worship. It means that we church people are to tear down any barriers that keep people away from God's house to hear God's word of love for them. It means welcoming all people to God's house, whatever their race, their culture, their climate, their language, their color of skin. Look around you today. Just do that for a moment, will you? Look around. This is what heaven's going to look like. A collection of God's people from every nation, from every tribe, from every language, whose sins have been forgiven by Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Wow, it seems like heaven will be an eternal thank you to our dear Lord Jesus. Now, to conclude this sermon, we come back where we started. Back on the beach with that old man and the bucket of shrimp and the seagulls. Do you remember him? The old man on the pier could not go a week without saying thank you. That's why he fed the seagulls once a week at sunset. His name was Eddie Rickenbacker. Some of you might recognize that name if you were alive in 1942. And if you were not alive, if you know some World War II history, you might recognize the name of Eddie Rickenbacker. I'm curious, has anybody here heard the name Eddie Rickenbacker? You show your generations or your love of history. Eddie Rickenbacker was an American pilot. flying in an airplane in the war against Japan with his crew in his airplane. They crashed in the South Pacific Ocean. The plane went down and he and his crew escaped into a life raft, and they were there for many, many days. They battled the weather, the water, the sharks, and the sun, but most of all, they battled the hunger. After 8 days, and many more days were coming, all their food was gone. Now, thank God they had water, but they had no food. It would take a miracle to save them. And a miracle happened. As they did each evening, these American Air Force men prayed together in the life raft. The sun was setting on a particular day, and they were falling asleep in this life raft. Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was about ready to fall asleep with his pilot's hat over his eyes, and then something landed on his head. It was a seagull. Now, what was a seagull doing hundreds of miles away from any land? Only God knows. And Captain Rickenbacker was thankful. Oh, he was thankful to God that seagull meant food. The flesh was eaten and shared. The inside of guts were used as bait, and they caught fish. Oh, they caught fish, and this saved their lives. They were rescued. They made it home. All because of a seagull. Where did it come from? Only God knows. And Eddie Rickenbacker, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, never quit being thankful and giving thanks to him. He knew the thanks were due. And as a result, every Friday evening, every week, until the week he died, this old war hero and retired Air Force captain walked on that pier, bucket filled with shrimp to feed the seagulls, and he thanked God. He worshiped. My friends, we would be wise to do the same. We have much in common with Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. We too were saved by a sacrificial visitor, sent by God to save us. His name was Jesus, and he gave his life on the cross to save our lives forever. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on a cross to pay for your sins and to pay for mine. He did that to open wide the gates of heaven. He died that we might live. And he rose from that grave on Easter Sunday to give us eternal victory over sin and death and the devil. Jesus Christ is your risen and victorious Savior. And he walks by your side. Just as sure as he sent that seagull to save those man's lives in the middle of the Pacific in a life raft, he walks with you today, whatever life throws your way. And we like Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, have every reason to give thanks, to worship, not just one day of the week, but every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, all God's people said, and we also say, thank you. We worship. Now we worship God by saying thank you to him by our generous offerings.